Brad Locke.
And I'm Dalton Milton.
And you're listening to Prep Rally, a podcast covering high school sports in Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hey, everybody. Welcome into a new episode of Prep Rally. Brad here with Dalton. We're almost halfway through the football season.
Yeah, schedules are starting to matter now. Division play is starting up.
Yep. 1A has been started up for a couple of weeks. We've got it's 5 and 6A this week. And then next week, 2, 3, and 4A. So, yeah, getting into the meat of the season. This is kind of my favorite part of the season, Dalton, because by this point we've got a pretty good idea about a lot of teams. Other teams, well, you don't know. Maybe they do well in non-division. They get into a division, it could be a whole different ballgame. So, but also starting to see some players really break out and make a name for themselves, maybe guys you haven't heard of. And anyway, I just like this time of year when you're just right in the thick of it. So that's what we're mostly going to talk about today is football. In fact, I think that's probably all we're going to talk about today, Dalton. What else is there? But anyway, thanks for joining us here for the next few minutes on Prep Rally. Just a reminder that this show comes to you every Wednesday. You can find it in iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or online. You can stream it at preprally.djournal.com. As you're sitting there at work, just plug your earphones into your computer and listen to us if you don't feel like doing anything else.
That's a good idea to me.
Yeah, just, you know, just watch out for the boss if he walks by, or she. So we're going to talk about some games from last week, some key games coming up this week, and a couple of other items football-related. We'll have Athletes of the Week as well at the end of the program. Dalton, let's start with the Week 5 Rewind. We're going to look back at three games from last week. We'll start with Corinth and Itawamba AHS. That's the game I was at. It was a shootout, Dalton. Entertaining game, which is funny because I say shootout. Itawamba could pass the ball pretty well, especially the second half, but Corinth is just run. Mm-hmm. Pass every 10th play, you know, like that. But they just got three guys that can really run the ball, and that helped them get out to a 21-0 lead. Itawamba came back. Jackson Orr had a pretty good second half to get them back in the game. And the final was 45-42. So, and Pontotoc, Itawamba scored there with about four-something left in the game, four-plus minutes, never got the ball back. And that's the thing about that wing tee, Dalton. If you can't stop it, it's just going to eat up yards and eat up clock and kind of shortens the game.
They did the same thing against Tupelo when they played them, but, you know, they just had ball security issues there.
Yeah, they took care of the ball pretty well this time. You got Tam Patterson, Zach Patterson, and the quarterback DT Sheffield all had good games running the ball. And that wing tee is just really tough for a lot of teams to deal with. But, I mean, credit to Itawamba for not caving there after falling behind by three touchdowns. They got back in it, and they did it with Ike Chandler, their star running back, kind of limited. He had an ankle injury, and he played some in the first half. I don't remember if he played much at all the second half.
I thought I saw on Twitter that he did not play at all in the second half.
I don't think he did, now that I'm thinking about it. So, yeah, he's still a little bit limited by that. I mean, first time he touched the ball, he got a 12-yard game, but after that, it was just – I guess he just couldn't go very long because those ankle injuries can really linger. So hopefully he'll be healthier this week. But Corinth, I had the official stats have Corinth with 456 rushing yards. I think I had like 483, but these things always seem to differ what I keep and what the official stat keeper keeps. But we'll go with the official number. It's a lot.
Yeah,
and not surprising for this team. They tend to do that, pile up the yardage. So that's a big non-division win for Corinth. I mean, they've looked good this year at Alton. I mean, they were pretty good last year, especially toward the end of the season. They upset Pontotoc in the playoffs, but this is a team that could make a deep run in 4A.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw them back to back. You know, they beat Shannon. Shannon's a great team. You know, they're playing a tough schedule, and then they brought Tupelo to the very wire, and they had that Tupelo. They had that win in their hands the entire game until the last 5 minutes.
They should have won that one.
But I think they're going to kind of use that as motivation. And like I was saying last week after seeing the Pontotoc Oxford game, I was like, I think the 4A North runs through Pontotoc, Louisville, and Corinth.
Yeah, I think you're right. Louisville's top three teams. Yeah, really good, and they got some good players down there at Louisville. And speaking of Pontotoc, let's talk about that game. Oxford defeats Pontotoc 31-12. Not surprised so much that Oxford won. I mean, that's a 6A school against a 4A school. And I saw Oxford the week before beat Lafayette, which I thought would win that game. So Oxford obviously is doing some things right. But I'm just surprised it wasn't closer because Pontotoc, like I said, I still think they're one of the best teams in the area, period. But I don't know. Oxford just found a way to move the ball on them and slow down that offense that can put up a lot of points.
Yeah, I don't think it was so much of just the Oxford defense slowing down the Pontotoc offense. I mean, they had seven turnovers.
Oh, yeah,
Pontotoc
they did.
They
Was it that many?
Jeez. It was five turnovers, two turnovers on downs.
So that'll lose you some ball games.
Yeah, I mean, two of the turnovers. The first one they had hit a guy in the back on a punt return. Oxford recovered it.
That's right. You were at that game. See, I'm used to you being at Tupelo, yeah. But Tupelo was off last week. So yeah, I don't know what I'm talking about. Keep going.
Yeah, you know, they hit a guy. They've recovered it. Oxford recovered it. Scored the next play. Then they had a one where, you know, they kicked off and it hit a guy and they recovered the fumble. And then, you know, they had just three or four fumbles that just slipped out of, you know, a player's hands. I think Caleb Hobson had a few, you know. And then he had a great game also, though, because, you know, he had a few fumbles. But then again, he was one of the reasons why they were actually in the game.
And sometimes it's just not your night.
Yeah, it definitely was their night. And then
yeah,
I know a lot of people complain about the refs. I don't think the refs had anything to do with how the game was ended. Everybody was like, oh, that we lost because of the refs. You didn't lose because of the refs.
And you don't lose by 19 because of the refs. But if you lost by one, maybe you can make a case. But
this game was the first game I've ever been to where I actually saw the referees lose control of a football game.
Yeah. I heard you mention that before.
There was double digits personal fouls and unsportsmanlike conducts. It was just they kept bringing in coaches and stuff and telling them to stop their players. And then every single play, it was a late hit or something after the play. It was just,
and you maybe expect that in a rival game. These teams aren't really rivals.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That's weird.
I've never seen the refs lose control of a game until that one. But, you know,
yeah,
it's a good one. Pontotoc's still a great team. Oxford has to work on the offense if they're going to want to, you know, compete in
division. Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, that was a good game. Oxford is special teams, especially, has proved over the last 2 weeks that, you know, it might have the best special teams in North Mississippi.
Yeah, Jack Tannehill, the sophomore kicker, beat Lafayette at the last second field goal, the game I was at 2 weeks ago. So, yeah, man, keep an eye on Oxford. A third game to look at real quick, neither of us were there, but I want to talk about it anyway. Shannon beat Senatobia. That final was 47-25. That was 47-23. That was a really big game for Shannon because they've kind of struggled against a tough schedule, sure. But that puts them now at 2-3. Senatobia is a good team. And that to me just really might make a big difference for them going forward to beat a good team like that as they head toward division play, which, like I said, starts next week for our teams in 4A. So Shannon's, you know, they've got the offense. They showed it again the other night that they can score. But once they get into division, the question again is, can they stop other teams?
Yeah. And it doesn't help that they play some of the best offenses in 4A every single week.
And 4A is just a stacked class up this way. It really is stacked. And we've mentioned Corinth, and you got Pontotoc and Itawamba. I mean, all these teams can score a lot. And so we'll see how Shannon does. I mean, they're going to be in the mix in pretty much all these games, certainly. So that's a quick look back at week five. Let's look ahead, Dalton, to week six. Three big games. We got some big ones here, man. We got Faulkner at Okolona. Big game in 1-1A. Okolona, the defending division champ, made a deep playoff run last year. Faulkner missed the playoffs. They look like a playoff team now, though. And this game will give us a really good idea of just how good Faulkner is, I think.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of really good 1A teams in that division. And someone to say that Faulkner missed the playoffs and they possibly could this year, it doesn't take away the fact that they're a great team, because that's like so many good teams in there. But the one thing for me that stands out is I saw Faulkner against Walnut and Walnut's offense. You know, they had a couple injuries in the middle of the game, the quarterback and such. But Walnut's offense kind of had their way with the Faulkner defense, and that I think that defense is kind of suspect. So I don't really know. Jacory Stanfield might have a big game. And I don't know, but that Faulkner offense, they can score will.
Yeah, that's Stanfield, good running back, and they got a lot of team speed on Okolona. That could be the downfall of Faulkner's defense if they just can't keep up with those guys and not let him get to the edge all the time. So yeah, that's a big one there. And I think Smithville is also 2-0 in the division. So right now you got three teams tied for first, and this will be, like I said, a huge game in determining seeding. And you know, again, Faulkner could, you know, end up just missing the playoffs. I mean, you're going to have a good team miss the playoffs. Oklahoma's good, Biggersville is good, Smithville's good, TCPS is good, and Faulkner's good. That's five teams. One of those ain't going to make it, but they're all really good 1A teams. So this is going to be one of the more fun division races to watch, I think. Maybe not so much for first place, because I still think Okolona's probably the class.
Yeah, Okolona's got that one.
But behind them, it's going to be pretty interesting to watch.
You got to feel bad for that team that's going to get that fifth seed, because you know, there's so many good teams right now.
Yeah, I mean, you can have a really good season in that division and just not go to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. That's too bad, but hey, you know, that's football.
That's how it works.
Another game to look at, Dalton. Tupelo, after a week off, is back in action. Opening division play in 1-6A against Hernando. Do we know anything about Hernando other than I think Tupelo probably should beat them?
Yeah, don't know anything about them. I reached out to the coach.
That's the coach that never that doesn't like to reply to anyone, or not you at least.
There's no stats online. There's nothing out there on them, really.
Besides their record.
Yeah, they're 2-2 right now. They've had a couple close losses, a couple good wins. I know last year Tupelo went to Hernando and won 31-0. The defense had, I think, 5 turnovers, 4 interceptions.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the defense, Tupelo's defense is still really good. You know, they're having a lot of trouble. You look at the points per game they're allowing, and you're like, oh, you know, it's not as good as it has been. But a lot of those drives that they're allowing touchdowns on start on, you know, their side of the field.
Yeah.
Because they've had some turnover issues on offense.
Right.
But, you know, they've had a week off to kind of get some of those injuries. You know, Tupelo's been really beat up all season.
Yeah, they have.
Kind of get some injuries. I know Stephon McGlon's not coming back. I don't know who else is injured right now. You know, I've heard some rumors about people being injured, but I haven't been able to confirm them or anything.
Yeah.
So we're going to see what they kind of
– see who shows up on the field yeah. Friday night.
We'll see who see what Hammond drew up for this week. You know, they had 2 weeks of practice, and so
– Right. I think they'll be well prepared, certainly. And it's at home, so Tupelo looking to get off on the right foot in division play. And finally, the third game to watch, and this is the game I will be at, Dalton.
It's game of the week.
I'm pumped for this one. Lafayette at West Point. Division opener in 1-5A for both of those teams. Of course, West Point, they've won 2 consecutive state titles. They had a 30-game winning streak recently snapped by Starkville a few weeks ago, which is no shame in that. That's probably the best team in the state. But West Point, I think, is still probably the class of 5A. Certainly up here, but Lafayette is much improved. They're 3-1 after going 3-8 last year, which was their first year in 5A. And they know how to win. Some of these kids are on that, you know, a 4A team that won a state championship 2 years ago, like Brandon Turnage was. He's a senior Alabama commit, defensive back and receiver for Lafayette. So looking at this matchup, Dalton, I mean, West Point, they don't have like a Marcus Murphy, you know, a big star like last year, but you know, a lot of years they don't. They just have a bunch of guys that are really good mm-hmm. at executing, and they're usually going to be really athletic. They know how to run the ball, and they're going to be pretty tough on defense, and whether they've got a Marcus Murphy type or not. So, to me, they're still the favorite right now in 5A, unless Lafayette maybe can show us otherwise.
Yeah, I said earlier in the season that this was going to be my 5A North championship that I thought was going to happen. And,
yeah,
you know, until somebody in 5A knocks off West Point, West Point's my 5A pick. You know, I think in the South you're going to have a lot of good teams like Hattiesburg, who you know mm-hmm. have played West Point well in the state championship, and I don't know much about them this year. But in the North, it's West Point, and then everyone else.
Yeah.
In my opinion, and I think Lafayette might have the best chance to beat them, but you're going to have to play well. You can't turn the ball over.
No, and if you're not careful, they'll make you turn it over.
Yeah, I think the best thing going for Lafayette right now is they had a bye week last week, and West Point had to prepare for 4A powerhouse Noxubee County.
Yeah, so, and beat them pretty handily, by the way. But, yeah, still, Lafayette does have the week off. And Lafayette, man, West Point can run the ball, but so can Lafayette. They've got 3 guys. They all have close to 500 yards rushing. The quarterback, Randy Anderson, then the 2 running backs, Lance Stewart, and Jamie Shaw. They've all got like between 470 and 490 yards rushing thereabouts. So that's something to deal with, because they're always going to have fresh legs in there to run the ball. So, again, that's the game I will be at. Looking forward to that. And look for our coverage, of course, in Saturday's Journal and at djournal.com. Let's talk a little more football. A couple of items, Dalton. You had a story earlier this week on New Albany quarterback Loden Bolin. He's been starting there like since forever.
Yeah, he's a 4-year starter.
And having a really good year in New Albany, you know, with Cody Stubblefield, an offensive-minded coach, has taken over. The offense is doing really well. What's kind of been the difference for Bolin in that offense?
Well, when I talked to him, he told me that it's just the long ball, which is weird. It was weird to me that a high school quarterback can be successful consistently on throwing the long ball. But I think he's thrown 15 touchdowns, which is a career high for him. I think most he's ever thrown is 13. And he's only 5 games in the season, and every single one of his receivers that's caught a touchdown has one that's over 50 or 60 yards long.
Wow, so yeah.
And I don't know if it's just – I don't know what Stubblefield did to implement in that offense that made him just, you know, hit a switch and just turn into this prolific passer, but he's done it. And
yeah.
But, you know, the thing that stuck out to me about him was he's thrown 11 or 13 interceptions. However many touchdowns he's thrown that many interceptions every year almost. This year he's only got 2 in 4-5 games.
Yeah.
So
that's pretty good. And it's just, you know, just could be part of just growing up mm-hmm. And maturing and everything. And he's the guy this year. You know, last year, Reno Montgomery split some time there, shared quarterback duties there. Reno, who would it be? He was a senior this year, transferred to I'm not sure where, but it's load and show, and he's doing a really good job.
Yeah, he told me about the maturing thing. He said that, you know, it was nice to me to talk to him because he was just completely honest with me.
Yeah, yeah, he was.
And he told me that whenever the past couple of years, whenever he would just he'd kind of key in on one receiver and just throw the ball up if it wasn't open and see who'd come down with it. A lot of times it's the defense. He said this year that's not happening. They have four solid receivers across the board.
And yeah.
If one guy's not open, he's just going through his progressions, hitting another one.
They got a good running back, the Prather kid, to balance it out.
Yeah, he said Stubblefield demands a run game, so they can't just sit there and throw the ball every play. He said that they get chewed out if they even try not to run it.
I got you. So anyway, that story was in the journal earlier this week. You can find it at djournal.com. Also, I want to talk about apparently this was like holiday week in the Daily Journal. Had two stories, kind of coincidental to happen that way, but had a story Monday on Kai Holiday, the quarterback at TCPS, that's Tupelo Christian Prep. And then Wednesday, today's edition, had a story on his dad, who was the head coach, Sean Holiday. The Kai Holiday story was basically I was looking for a good Monday story and looking at how some players had performed this past weekend, and Kai's numbers caught my eye. He's had a good year, first-year starter at quarterback, just a sophomore. Sean, his dad and the coach, had wanted to keep him at receiver, but turned out a situation at quarterback didn't work out like he'd hoped. So Kai is the quarterback and doing quite well. And the other night in a win over Thrasher, he passed for 234 yards and three touchdowns. He can also run the ball too. Very athletic kid.
Yeah, it seems like every single Friday night I come in here and look at, you know, the roundup and everything, it just seems like Kai Holiday is about 350 yards and four total touchdowns every single night.
Yep, yep. And you know, they miss him at receiver, but Foster Yates has done a really good job stepping into that role. I mean, he's their leading receiver by far with like 25 catches, 500 something yards.
Yeah, the Foster Yates, I don't never seen the kid. I don't know how big he is, but he kind of, his numbers remind me of Brett Riley's from last year.
Right.
Because he's just putting up just outrageous numbers and yards per catch and everything. And just looking at that, it's like, wow, is anybody even covering this kid?
Yeah, I know. So, yeah, that's that situation has pretty much worked out well for TCPS to this point. And then his dad, Sean Holiday, had a story, like I said, on him. And, you know, everybody knows this. This is something people maybe don't talk about. But he is, you know, he's an African-American head football coach at a private school. There aren't many of those in Mississippi. Black head coaches at a private school, which is, in TCPS's case, 97% white. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you got that whole racial dynamic, and I had a story about how that, you know, that's not really a thing for them. They talk about race, sure, and he tries to educate his players, you know, on things regarding racial issues. But really, they're just out there, you know, playing football and trying to win games, and they're all, you know, sticking together. And I had an anecdote or two in there talking about that and how they, you know, they're going to stand up for each other. Black, white, doesn't matter. And it's obviously working. I mean, they seem to have a really good dynamic, but they also win games. I think one leads to the other. Sean told me, you know, he doesn't coach for wins and losses anymore, but I think if you do things the right way like he is, the wins come. And we saw that last year. They made the playoffs. Could do it again this year. So would like for y'all to check that out. It's in Wednesday's Journal and at djournal.com. All right, we're about to run along here, Dalton. Let's do the athletes of the week. How about we do that? We do this every week. We honor a male and female athlete for their accomplishments from the past week. Female athlete of the week, Madison Jones, Saltillo. She runs cross country. They had a meet at Saltillo last weekend. She finished second in the 4A, 5A, 6A girls race with a personal record time of 19 minutes 30.9 seconds. She was a big part of their state title run last year. And she was the top Saltillo finisher at this meet, which was the first time that they've actually won their own meet, the girls. So congrats to Madison Jones and also Casey Ivey, football player for Amory, running back, backup running back, Dalton. But he got called into first string duty because of an injury. He rushes for, 312 yards and a touchdown against Nettleton.
Against a really good Nettleton defense, too.
Yeah, so. Exactly. A Nettleton defense that threw two shutouts to start the season. And Casey Ivey, again, who's the guy that got hurt?
Chris Satterwhite,
that's right. That's like, if your starter, most starters aren't going to do that.
Yeah, I mean, if there's a, you know, someone runs for 300 yards in the game, that's a big deal.
I was kind of hesitating. I can't find the words, like, how many backup running backs do that? So give the kid some more carries, man. And that's it. Dalton, we're done. Show's over. Bye. No, but yeah, thanks for listening. Again, we come to you every Wednesday in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at preprally.djournal.com. I feel like I'm talking way too fast, Dalton.
It happens.
Well, I was on a conference call for an hour and 45 minutes this morning. Just threw my whole day into chaos. So now I'm like behind on everything. So I'm just rushing through this podcast and hope everybody can understand what the heck I'm saying. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at DJournalPreps. Dalton's at DLMiddleton8. I'm at Brad Locke. That's it. We'll be back next week. Thanks for listening.